are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's exactly where you're at, Adventist World Radio, SID Media's Maranatha Drive, as we go into this segment here where we will be looking at matters pertaining to our scripture in motion. Yes, indeed, we want to make things practical, and there is no other practical way than to take God's word as you are on the move. We are people on the move in this day and age, right? But we're saying scripture is applicable even in those circumstances as well. So this afternoon, as we speak to Umfundisi Marandule, who joins us now on the line, we're going to be looking at contentment versus comparison. That's our theme for the week. And we're saying in this race of faith, it's a crucial, crucial thing to remember that our contentment is not determined by our circumstances. And we often want to blame circumstances for our discontent, but that's barking up the wrong tree. And I love how Paul puts it in Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13, right? I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content, and I know how to be brought low and how to abound. In every circumstance, whether I am abounding or am abased, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And it then comes through that popular text, which we sometimes then use out of context. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May God bless us as we study together. For this, a good afternoon to you and welcome.
A very good afternoon. Thank you so much.
Trusting we find you well.
You're fine.
No, we're doing okay. Muruti aside.
No, we are good. We're good besides the cold, but we are all right. We're being strengthened. We're told it's healthy to go through the cold. Yeah, that's what they tell us.
Yeah.
Keeping us at home.
That's how it sounds like you're not convinced, Muruti.
No, that's not convincing. It's just they're trying to tell us it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I know. So true. So true. Yeah, I've been hearing that Zim has been going through quite a cold spat. Please do keep warm. Don't get those colds and those sniffles. We need you nice and healthy.
True. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Muruti. And thanks again for joining us as we study today, continuing with our series, Contentment versus Comparison. Now, let's talk about discontentment. What would find us, I mean, with all the blessings? Yesterday we were talking about gratitude and how we must focus on all the positives that God has given us. Why would we then find ourselves in the midst of all this plenty being discontent? What's the cause?
Yes, it's quite something that is really worrying.
Mm-hmm.
We find ourselves stuck in discontentment where we're not supposed to be, where we are supposed to be grateful to God. And because of that, like I said a bit yesterday, that at times, because of the pressure that we go through, being social, financially, or whatever it may be, we are pushed to opt for being discontent than to be content. And it is because at times, okay, there's another side which is actually a very popular side, where we are meant to be discontent because we are comparing our lives to the lives of other people, and also we are wishing we were in those shoes and we are in these shoes. And again, not only that, there's also that the flip side whereby we all want what is good for ourselves. This we all want. No matter who it may be, we want what is good. So because of that, we are pushed to live a life of wanting more and wishing we had that and that and that and that. So at times we are driven,
yeah,
because we see it is possible to have 10 pairs of shoes. It is possible because I'm seeing someone has 10 shoes. So what's wrong with me? It's possible. So what's wrong with me? That's the question. So now there comes the push to say, no. So I shouldn't be satisfied. I shouldn't be grateful. I shouldn't be stuck in this. I need to be there by hook or by crook. Mm. Yeah, that's what I can say.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the challenge comes through, is it not? When we try to then look at what the Joneses have And in that, you will always have less. You will always have less. And unfortunately, we don't realize that we are always having more than somebody else as well, no matter what station we find ourselves in life. But we always look at the less that we don't possess. How does lack of contentment affect our relationships, but especially our relationship with God?
It does affect our relationships with God in a greater magnitude, in the sense that God, for what we have now, my brother, we have not because we have been working so hard. We have what we have, we are what we are, not because of our making, not because of our connections or some social links that we have out there. It's not because we are learned or we have a solid educational background. So it's not about us in a nutshell. It's all because of what God has given us. And what we were yesterday, again, to what God had allowed. And what we shall be tomorrow, it's also what God will allow. So everything about us is just but the work of God. So now when we are showing that we are discontent, because discontent, again, it's more like a cancer. It's eating us from within on a daily basis and may not find a cure unless we change our mindset. You see a person who is discontent, they are forever grumbling, they are forever murmuring, they are forever complaining. They are not even putting a happy face.
Nice.
Because they have no reason to be grateful. They look so sorrowful, even though they are in possession of what a million people may not be able to possess. They are not happy. They are not grateful. So because of that, honestly, God is not happy. God is not pleased. God is not glorified in their lives. He cannot be magnified because what I have, I am not grateful. I'm not thankful to God for what I have now. Someone out there does not have what I have. And I'm not being grateful. I wish I had more. And then God is like, hey, you know what? I have actually done you favor. You were not supposed to be having this.
Yeah, yeah.
But why can't you be grateful at least? Because I always say to my wife, at times when we're talking and we're just having some light moments, look here, where we came from and where we are today, honestly speaking, there's a huge difference. And God has done a lot for us. And there's no way I can doubt that 5 years or even 2 years from now, it will be a different story. Because I see where I was is now different from where I am today. So tomorrow is going to be definitely different again. So for what it is today, comparing to what it was yesterday, I have every reason to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And that is so true. That is so true. If you could only look at ourselves and compare ourselves with ourselves, we would really see the difference. And especially if you just also look in the rearview mirror and see the yesterday that you were in and how far forward you've gone from where you were, that would make a difference, I think, so much. Is it possible, Muruti, to have discontent lead us to sin? Or it's only just feelings of not having enough or comparison and stuff?
Okay. It's unfortunate that we don't find discontent in the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
So that we can then say, this is a sin.
Okay.
Yeah. But in itself, it is a sin. Because we are simply saying God is not able. We are simply saying God is not able. And because we are saying he's not able, we are saying, then he cannot be capable of being a leader He was capable of being a father figure in my life. Again, that is the bad circumstance of us being led into further sin. Because of that, some people end up turning to ways that will compromise the will of God in our lives. And such that they want to quickly get up there and move faster and be where they want to be. And they will use ways that God has not prescribed in his word. Or what God would then say, this is not right. This is not supposed to be done by a child of God. You know, let me just give an example. You want a car and you don't have a car. And you're saying, God, what is wrong with me? All my schoolmates, they're driving cars. People in church, those who were even far away, less privileged than myself, are now up there, they've overtaken me. So let me go consult these spirit mediums. So we have church members who consult spirit mediums by night or by day where they are not seen, and they use those powers to advance their financial capacity and stability, their backbone to that. So I'm simply saying now, because your heart wants more and is not grateful to God for what you have now, you may be tempted now to use ways that are not prescribed by the Bible to gain that which you were supposed to have gained if you had been faithful to God in the passage of time. So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, quite potent. No, thank you so much, Mfundisi. And I think we need to be wary, right? And I think one can squeeze it if I try to eisegese. I don't know if I'm eisegeting, Moroti. You'll help me with the ninth commandment there, which talks about covetousness, because that's in essence where discontentment will lead us, right? Where we're now saying, what is Pastor Marandure having? Why would he deserve such a thing? I am more this, or I deserve this better. Look at me. I've worked more than he, you know, and I now end up there just because what I possess, I'm not satisfied with it. So in a sense, one can squeeze it into the Ten Commandments, can't we?
Oh, yes, fine. We can somehow find a way of squeezing it around ninth commandment, like you're saying, when we further exegete it. Yes, exactly. And then we say, now, if you are busy converting, then that means you are not satisfied with where you are, but you are seeing something better on the other side, and you want it then to be what you would have wanted. Yes, of course. It will definitely be there. It is true, because when someone is converting, it's not someone who's just giving a compliment, but someone who's just saying, I wish that house was my house.
Yeah.
So that, in that admiration. Sense, it definitely means, So in that sense, definitely it means you wish you had that which you do not have now. You have been content with what you have now, then you would not wish you had that. But complimenting itself is not a sin. And also, we also need to draw a line whereby we're saying, no, it's not bad to say, hey, this person is a good thing. This person has got a good house. This person has a good car. This person has got a good job. This one is doing very well. There's nothing wrong in complimenting. But the whole thing will turn out to be evil the moment you say, I think I deserve that which this person has. Now that's Lucifer in heaven. Now that's Lucifer in heaven. Now saying, I think I can be better than Jesus. If I can sit where he is, but there would be really nothing wrong to say, glory to Jesus. Yeah. But now, when you say, I think glory now, it has to be mine. There we have a problem.
And you're not even looking for something similar. You want that one which they possess, like how? And then them, no, they must not have.
I like what you're saying there. It's not like you want something similar, but you want
You want that one. The one they are having is what
you want. You want that one, exactly.
Hey, may God help us.
That's a problem.
May God help us.
Yeah, because by the end of the day, anyway, we do good as we see others doing good out there.
Okay.
We achieve when we push harder in whatever we're doing, because we say, hey, I think I need to be there. And I think we agreed yesterday. We don't need to be content to a point whereby we say, I think we're good to be stuck in poverty. This is God's way. This is good. And we are no. This is what it is today, but this may not be our wish today. We would want to be somewhere there. But because we are not yet there, we are being content and happy and in comfort with where we are today. That's why people go to school anyway, to learn. Go and learn so that you can have a job. Yeah, but what? It's not a sign of being discontent. But saying we want to achieve. But let's do it in a way whereby we then not deprive ourselves of being happy and deprive God of His glory for what we do not have today, because it's going to come tomorrow. Let's be happy today. Something like that, exactly.
Yeah. No, I really like that, and I think that becomes very, very profound to look at it in that perspective. And you know, you also have assisted us just on how to deal. And maybe let's just wrap up with that quickly, Moruti. How to deal with unmet expectations, right? You heard, no, if you study, you get a good job, you work hard, you will get this ABC. But then you do that, and you're not getting a good job. You've got whatever it is, and it's just not working out. It's very easy sometimes to feel like, why does a neighbor have and I don't have? How can we deal with that and make sure that we don't end there just because our expectations are not met?
Exactly. So this is how we're supposed to deal with this thing. If I do not have what I'm supposed to be, but not what I'm supposed to be, right? I'm saying if I do not have that which I would have wished to have, and it's going to come tomorrow, or my neighbor has it already here, but I wish it to come to me. This is how we're supposed to deal with it. We need to learn a culture of being grateful. Let's start today. Let's learn and have a culture, adopt a culture whereby we are grateful. We are grateful. If that attitude, of being grateful all the time. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. And you're saying, the day has come, the day has ended, and this is what I am, this is where I am, this is what I have. Thank you for this. And without that mind of saying, but I would have been more grateful if you would have done this and this and this and that. Let me just end there and being grateful. Yeah. I tell you, that would be a remedy from trying to compare around and see ourselves and wish ourselves would have been a better people. No. I don't believe again there are better people and there are worse people. I don't believe in that. We are all at a place where God wants us to be. And in every situation, there will be someone who seem to be ahead of others and someone who be that. You'll just learn that your life today is someone's prayer point somewhere.
Yeah.
And someone saying, I wish I can be there.
Yeah.
And whilst you are saying, I wish I can be there, someone is saying, the moment I can be able to be on SID, on AWR, dear God, I would have made it. Please. Even if I'll go to heaven tomorrow, at least I'll say, hey, amen. Let's be thankful. At least you've got some data bundles, your Wi-Fi, so that you can connect to this program. Be thankful to God, because someone does not even have a gadget that can connect to this program. So let's be thankful. That, I believe, is the most powerful premise where we need to come from.
Amen and amen. Be thankful. And if you have gratitude, you can be able to find yourself saving yourself from many challenges. Moruti, thank you so much once again. May God bless you. Until we chat again tomorrow, keep well and thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Until tomorrow then.
Amen. Pastor S.K. Marandule talking to us this afternoon as we are trying to understand this issue of gratitude, right? And we're saying, hey, be careful, guys. Many factors out there push us into that comparison circle. I'm talking social media, right? Ooh, if there's ever a thing that has brought us to be discontent, it is that thing called social media. And you don't remember to say, no. They're also posing for those pictures, and they take 700 pictures when they are on one holiday, and then they post them every week. And you think, hey, these people every week are going out away and they are enjoying life. Is that one holiday they went to 3 years ago, which they are still posting and giving you feels? Bazalwane, don't die when you're young. May God help us. May God help us. But it's more godly to be content with what we possess.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.